podcast of Holy Cross Lutheran Church of Austin and Our Savior's Lutheran Church of Brownsville, Minnesota. January 14, 2024, this is Pastor Olana. We began our service in the name of our God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truths and teach us, for your God of our salvation, for whom we wait. Amen. Let us confess our sins. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquities and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new right and a spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and uphold us with a willing spirit. Amen. Since we confessed our sins, now hear the absolution. Our Heavenly Father has had mercy on us, and through Jesus Christ has set us free from sin, death, and the devil's power. Through the faith installed in us by the Holy Spirit, we know, and I declare as an ordained servant of Christ, that you are forgiven in the name of our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Sing praise to God, the highest good, the author of creation, the God of love who understood our need for His salvation. With healing balm our souls He fills, and every faithless murmur stills. To God all praise and glory.
Our Old Testament reading for this Sunday is taken from the book of Samuel, chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. And the epistle is taken from the 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 through 20. And then our gospel reading is from Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 43 through 51. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayer of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God and now forever. Amen.
Blessed day to you. This is a Bible study of the Epistle lesson for the second Sunday after Epiphany. We begin with prayer. O God, we thank you for revealing your love for us through your word, and your love for us also through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for sending us your Holy Spirit, who gives us faith to accept your love through our Savior. Keep us strong in our faith, increase our love for you, increase our love for our neighbor, and keep us steadfast in this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in the season of Epiphany. Epiphany meaning to make manifest, that is, to reveal something previously not known or understood. What wonderful thing about God will be made manifest through Jesus Christ for us today? In other words, what will be revealed in our scripture reading today about us or our Christian lives? Let's see as we read 1 Corinthians 6:12 to 20. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will always raise us, also raise us up by his power. Don't you know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who joins himself to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two shall become one flesh. But he who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun immorality. Every other sin which a person commits is outside the body. But the immoral person sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Thus far the reading. Last Sunday, our epistle lesson encouraged us to walk in the new life which we received through holy baptism. That was on the Sunday where we had the gospel for Jesus baptism. Today, our lesson talks about one of the major sins that confronts us with our baptized bodies. That is the sin of immorality, not immortality. Immortality means to live eternally, but immorality are sins of the body, which include adultery and fornication. When the New Testament church met in its first council, which is recorded for us in Acts 15, it was agreed that the church was not bound by the Old Testament ceremonial laws, like making animal sacrifices or being circumcised. But it was also agreed that the Christian is expected to live the new life of Christ and avoid the sins of the world. And then it pointed to a particular kind of sin in its various forms, that is, immorality. The apostles, Peter and Paul, and their associates had been witnessing that God was bringing Gentiles into the Christian faith. Gentiles generally lived in immoral societies, not societies like Israel, which was very moral in contrast to other societies and nations in the world. After some discussion, James, the head of the church in Jerusalem, spoke. He summarized what had been discussed, and then he made a recommendation. We read about this in Acts 15, beginning at verse 13. James is speaking, and he says, "Brethren, listen to me. Simon Peter has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, as it is written, 'After this I will return and I will rebuild the dwelling of David, which has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up, that the rest of men may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who has made these things known from of old. Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, that they have to be circumcised. But we should write to them to abstain from the pollutions of idols and from unchastity, or also called immorality, and from what is strangled and from blood. For from early generations, Moses has had in every city those who preach him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues." Unquote. The fact that the Apostolic Council had expressly laid the abstaining from immorality on the consciences of the Gentile Christians made no impression on Corinth, at least on some of its converts. Immorality was as common there as it is today here in America. Many of the converts to the Christian life were coming out of immoral lives. There was always the strong temptation to go back to an immoral life because immorality was so tempting and because it was so common. That's why the church had to encourage strongly the Gentile Christians to work at avoiding immorality. Thus, the encouragement to avoid immorality was made to the whole church who had been saved by the sufferings, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Christ, who died for people's sins, declared that to indulge in sin is to be enslaved in sin. That's in John 8:34. And from that enslavement, his cross, Christ's cross, has ransomed all, where in verse 20 in our text says, bought with a price. He did this with the whole redemption of the whole person. His grace has laid claim to people's Christian's body, as in verse 13 it says, for the Lord. His work marked the resurrection and eternal life for us and made us a member of himself and calls us a temple of the Holy Spirit in verse 19, a place of inviolable sanctity, no longer people's will to do with as they please. In verse 19, it says, not your own, but it is to be an instrument of his worship, according to verse 20. There are two great thoughts here. It is Paul's insistence that though he is free to do anything, he will let nothing master him. The great fact of the Christian faith is not that it makes a man free to sin, but it makes a man free to stay or avoid sin. It is so easy to allow habits to master us, but the Christian strength enables us to master them. When a person really experiences the Christian power, that Christian becomes not the slave of its body, but its master of the body. Often a person may say, I will do what I like, when he means that he will indulge the habit or passion which has him in its grip. It's only when a person has the strength of Christ in him that he can really say, I will do what I like, and not I will satisfy the things that have me in their power. It is also Paul's insistence that we are not our own. There is no such thing in this world as a self-made person. A Christian is a person who doesn't think about his rights to do as he pleases without consulting God, but the Christian considers what he or she does in light of their responsibility to God, who has saved them and made them new creatures by faith in Jesus Christ. Christians do not belong to themselves. They belong to Christ, who has saved them. We must do what Christ likes, because Christ bought us at the cost of his life. Here's the problem. Because we are imperfect, because we are sinful, we need help to live the sanctified life we have been given through holy baptism. That help comes from the Holy Spirit. According to our text, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit within us. So the Christian should value his body as a sacred place where God dwells, and should realize that by the Spirit's presence and power, he can be helped against such sins as sexual immorality. Finally, Paul makes one last appeal. Because God's Spirit dwells in us, we have become a temple of God, and so our very bodies are sacred. And more, Christ died to save not a part of a person, but the whole person, body and soul. Christ gave his life to give a person a redeemed soul and a pure body. Because of that, Christians' bodies are not their own to do with as they like. It is Christ's body, and they must use it, not for the satisfaction of their own lusts, but for the glory of Christ. Let us then give glory to God for what he has done for us through the way we live and what he does for us through his Holy Spirit as we pray. All glory is yours, blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for being the gracious God you are and for exercising that grace by saving us eternally through your Son, Jesus Christ. You have enlightened our hearts with your truth. Grant us your Spirit and the power to do whatever pleases your gracious will for us, that is, to live holy and moral lives. But also grant us your Spirit to help us avoid immorality, which we know displeases you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free Spirit. Amen.
Let us close our service for this morning with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord looks upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Sound. May the fruits of